Welcome back to 453 Fireside. It's been a minute. We were off last week for Thanksgiving break. Hi, Dr. Adams. How are you?
Mr. Potter, it's been a hot minute. How are you? That's the question.
I'm great. You're out on the road, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Good to see you.
Back in schools, back in session.
We're back and we are ready. We're in that final 3 week push till Christmas break.
So as you know, we try to mix up the conversation topics and bring in guests sometimes from the outside on this. You've invited some of your special friends, the work that you're very passionate about. So would you like to introduce the topic and introduce our guest?
Absolutely. We do have that eclectic mix of topics, and I appreciate you being willing to let them be at the table today. So from the Leavenworth County Economic Development Corporation, we've got, in no particular order, Executive Director Lisa Hack. Lisa, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
How great are you today?
I'm great.
And I'm going to work my way this way if it works. Diana Dodd.
Hi, Kellen. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Remind us of your title, please. I didn't want to try to stumble through it.
It's okay. I'm the Assistant Director.
Awesome. And currently President, correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct.
Jeremy Greenmeyer.
Yep. Appreciate the invitation.
Thanks for being here, guys.
So besides like really liking and loving economic development, why does it make sense to have this group on as part of a school district podcast?
Valid question. To be clear, it's not a like, it's a love. It has always been for me. This is now my third organization to be a part of, as I've always tried to interface with this and other school districts. We are a part of the local economy. We are typically, and I know you've gotten sick of hearing me say this, we're the number one restaurant in town. We're typically the number one employer in town. We're typically one of the largest land and or facility owners in town. We are a part of the local economy. And so I want us to have a seat at the table any and everywhere we possibly can.
So Lisa, starting with you, Executive Director, tell us what your organization does, what the mission is, how it's structured, some of those basic for those that don't know it all.
So Leavenworth County Development Corporation, or LCDC as we call it for short, it's a public-private organization. We're funded in part by the Port Authority, by three cities, Leavenworth, Lansing, and Tonganoxie, and then we have about 60 private investors. And our job is to help facilitate the creation of jobs and capital investment in Leavenworth County. Because of all the other entities that are in our county, we have somebody at each city level that is focusing on retail. We've got someone focused on tourism. Our focus can then be on the primary industry, and we're talking about manufacturers, wholesale, distribution. We feel those are the economic drivers. They're the ones that are hiring all kinds of people and bringing in lots of capital investment, therefore creating the demand for retail and all those other jobs.
And then what are your responsibilities in the organization versus assistant director and president, the roles that we have here today?
So as the executive director, I am responsible for overseeing the operations of the organization as well as business attraction. So I'm out there working to sell our community as a place to live and work for people that are either in the Kansas City area or nationally.
And you've been here before soliciting information from the school district. When you're doing that and getting demographic information or initiative information from school districts, how are you using that with your groups and audiences?
Right, and I might let Diana answer that. That's kind of in her lane. She is responsible for the business retention and expansion program.
Awesome.
So primarily we look for information on what career and tech ed programs the schools offer so that we can assist businesses with filling key roles. And we also use the information that we gather from businesses on what skills they need to help the school know what skills they need to be teaching.
Okay. And Jeremy, what is your role as president?
Yeah, as president, since we're a nonprofit, we do have a board. I'm currently at the end of my two-year term. And the board provides, I would say, a long-term goal setting and big strategy. Really, the day-to-day is these two sitting to my left for the interacting with people, replying to RFPs, recruiting, attending meetings, going out of state for conventions and conferences. So really, I'm here as the head of the board, which I think is, wouldn't you say, Lisa, kind of a grander strategy, and also just a requirement of being a 501 C7.
Six. C6. Seven. You're right. Yeah.
So Kellen mentioned his love for this topic. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's true of you too. What about your background and investment in Leavenworth makes it of interest?
Yeah, you don't just get involved in economic development is not something you just kind of fall into. I think a lot of the people who have come to be on the board is because they were doing things that were working in parallel with it already. Having been born and raised here in a family of developers, I think it's kind of a no-brainer as to why I might be interested in the success of a town and whether that success is housing or retail or even in primary industries, which is what we support. And so I've been in my position for about 23 years, mostly in the housing and development segment of real estate, but that dovetails in perfectly for the extraction and retention of primary industries, because obviously those people need a place to live.
And Dr. Adams, on behalf of a school district, why is it important to have a community with a robust housing and industry environment? How does that impact us?
Absolutely. So I want you to think about when people move to town, and they move for various reasons, family, job, et cetera. I don't know what ranks highest here. There are three questions people ask when they move. Where are we going to live? What are we going to do, i.e., entertainment, and where are the kids going to go to school? We are one of those three questions. And what I say is I need the other two questions to be answered really well for me to be able to answer question three really well. If there's nowhere to live, guess what? People aren't going to be able to live in our school district. If there's not good entertainment, eating options, et cetera, they're not going to be able to choose this as a destination. So at the end of the day, for me to do question three really well, I need the rest of the local economy to be taking care of questions one and two. This entity serves that purpose every day.
And then you attend the meetings as well, correct?
Correct. Current board member. Right. That is accurate. Yep.
And then what input do you provide in terms of like what's going on in the schools? How does that interplay work from education to board and vice versa?
Sure. So there's what I would call tremors that exist that we're either on the front end of or the back end of. The best example I can give you of a tremor is a housing development that occurs. When and if a new development crops up and we're going to put in, say, 50 new 3-2-bedroom homes, right, that will likely create new rugrat rooftops for us. And you're getting sick of this term, I can tell it. That's okay. What's a rugrat rooftop, you're asking? It's a rooftop that has at least one K-12 kid living underneath of it. If a new 50 new homes crops up, it is likely that we will have new rugrat rooftops, meaning new kids that will be coming to my system, our system, meaning there's implications. I've got to have the teachers in the classrooms and all that to educate them, right? So that would be one example of a tremor in which here's homes that get created, and downstream that has an impact for the school district. Conversely, we can sometimes create the tremor. So I want you to think about the current conundrum that we have, in which we have less kids here, less kids in the school district. That will be less high school kids that can go to the theater and create economic stimulus on a Friday or Saturday night. There are less kids going to Sonic to spend / waste their salary.
No offense to Sonic, yep. Geez.
You know, when you're 12.
Subway. Yeah. If it was Subway, it's not a waste, right?
Anyways, you get the point. They are part of the economy, as are their parents. And so as our system gets smaller or bigger, we have a direct impact on that local GDP.
So, Lisa, because you represent an entire county, there's probably trends from the different cities, municipalities throughout. What would you say distinguishes the city of Leavenworth and our school district footprint from the other portions that you represent?
Well, right off the top of my head, I can think of the population. I mean, you've got, a little over 37,000 people in the city of Leavenworth, whereas Lansing has about 11,000. Basser's got about 7, I think, and then Tongass about 5 or 6. So there's a difference there. You've also got Fort Leavenworth here at the north end of the city of Leavenworth, which makes up a different demographic as well. You've got those military families who are sometimes living off post, so you've got some of that as well. So a transient kind of group of people. Would you add anything else either?
Yeah, there's Leavenworth has the benefit of a lot more commercial taxpayers, which is going to buy down your mill levy. I think Leavenworth, of all the four or five municipalities in the county, has the lowest mill levy. And a lot of that's driven by the fact that you have a lot of commercial tax collections. Inversely, you also have a number of tax-exempt entities who are wonderful to have here as employers, and they provide a lot of kids to the schools and to the local businesses, but they also don't pay taxes. And, you know, it's mostly the federal and the state government entities, Fort Leavenworth, VA, schools, prisons. So they do a great job of bringing people here for jobs, but also are tax exempt. So that's just some of the battles that we have to fight as a city and also as a county.
So Lisa, you mentioned CTE earlier, and when we drop acronyms here, we spell them out, which is Career Technical Education, which is definitely a push nationwide and here in Leavenworth, the school district as well. Talk more about the programs that you, in terms of like how you partner with the schools, and then also maybe what you hear from local industry that they're looking for in terms of the skills of our graduates.
So that question is well-timed because Dr. Adams and I have been working on a career in tech ed symposium along with the other districts in the county, Bayser, Tonganoxie, and Lansing specifically, to create a county-wide CTE program, essentially, in order to help reduce redundancies in the different districts, use our space wisely, and not compete for staff. So the idea is that a student from Leavenworth, and correct me, Dr. Adams, if you disagree with anything I'm saying, a student from Leavenworth might be able to go to a program that's at Tonganoxie for, say, construction trades, and a Lansing student can come over to Leavenworth for auto body. But there's still a student at Leavenworth, or there's still a student at Lansing. They're not changing districts. And the hope is to have all the students graduate with a diploma, some quarter credential or college credit, and practical work experience. So with this, we'll also be bringing kids in to tour different employers, exposing them to the different types of jobs that are available, say in manufacturing. And then as far as skills go, advanced manufacturing is on the rise. You don't have to go to college to get a good paying job. So construction trades, automation engineer, industrial maintenance tech, those are going to be the primary skills that are going to be in the career tech ed, or what we would consider VOTEC pathway. But the biggest thing that universally that all businesses need right now are soft skills. That's the one thing that any employer in any industry is looking to increase for students to have improved.
And then in your role, are you playing a role in connecting students to employers in terms of apprenticeships or, you know, what we call real job learning opportunities?
Yes, and I'm doing the best that I can to encourage our employers to provide job shadowing if they're not willing to go for full-on apprenticeship. But if I can get them to do a registered apprenticeship, that's great. But any exposure that we can provide is beneficial.
And then I don't think you listed it, but I think that they fit in that laundry list of partners on this, and Diana and Kellen, the Kansas City, Kansas Community College.
Yes.
In terms of like how they fit into this, because I know that's where you've hosted some of the first symposium.
Yes.
What is their role?
Well, they all the districts partner with them already for dual enrollment. And they're planning to build a new Lansing campus in the next few years. And that's sort of what sparked the whole conversation, because Dr. Adams was talking about expanding CTE, Mr. Cobza and Lansing was talking about expanding CTE, and then here comes this new campus. And Dr. Baylog with KCKCC was asking, you know, what do we need to offer? So it just made sense to get everybody in a room and let them all talk that out.
Dr. Adams?
It's the three-legged stool. So here's K-12, which obviously we are fundamental at the, I would say, primary level. We're doing preparation up to senior year, it's higher ed, and then it's the greater business community, right? And generally speaking, we're going to be able to handle our business, as is KCK. We don't always know what industry is expecting and or needing for a skill set that they expect from the quote-unquote end product. They can help facilitate that. I don't know what Greenemeyer Rentals wants and needs to see from a 22-year-old when they graduate. But if he can help me facilitate that, and if they can help me understand what his industry want to see, then I can start to align our inputs with what the desired output is.
And can you talk more about the genesis of the symposium and what the longer-term goals are of that collaboration?
Sure. I'm going to say one of the primary goals was what she said, which is getting everybody into the same room at the same time. So often I hear Baser wants to do CTE, Piper wants to do CTE, Lansing wants to do CCE. Generally speaking, all the goals are the same, right? However, it seems like there's a lot of duplicity that I find. There's a lot of times where we are all trying to do maybe the same program, and the reality is that is not as efficient as if we would collectively get into the same room at the same time and decide, you know what, maybe the county only needs one construction trades program. Maybe there's a chance to interface with Wyandotte County on something larger scale, especially with how close Piper is. Maybe there's an opportunity to do one auto tech and it's already in existence at Leavenworth High School. We don't need to go build a brand new one that exceeds seven figures in cost, right? So that was step one. Step two, which is already, I would say, underway, is understanding how we can create market value assets for our students. And this is where KCK's role really comes in. At the end of the day, I want to give Christian more than just a high school diploma. I want him to walk out with something else. 24 college credit hours is great, but that doesn't work for every kid. What if I could have him TIG or MIG certified from welding perspective? That gives him a leg up at the age of 18 as he enters the job market. What if he knew what a top plate, a bottom plate, a jack stud, and a king stud were? So when you asked him to frame up that wall, he was already a leg ahead on knowing what that terminology was. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it was creating that impetus for KCK, who really takes the raw product that we delivered, and they kind of create that finished product as they head to the next step of their journey.
Jeremy, as a business owner, what reflections or insights would you have in terms of how CTE and that workforce readiness emphasis of schools looks today than maybe how it did 5-10 years ago? Like, are we going in the right direction, or how should we be moving or adjusting any differently?
I think this conversation is the same conversation people have been having for the last probably 10 or 20 years on, you know, where are the skills coming from. I think we as a nation probably emphasized a traditional four-year education too much to too many people and put ourselves in this position. So it's kind of just getting back to what, you know, quote-unquote normal should look like. Dr. Adams is exactly right. The less time employers can spend having to train people and can actually put them into productive use, it's better. It's better for everybody. And this is really, I think, what Diana hears on a pretty regular basis when she goes on her annual business visits is, boy, we'd love to do more work. We'd love to expand or take on a new product line, but who's going to do the work? Diana, is that about right?
You've got it.
So what does the next 3 to 5 years look like in terms of Leavenworth County, whether that be trends or growth or initiatives, and what are ways in which the schools can help to support that?
So I think this is a longer game than 3 to 5 years. I would say that the work we're doing now may not come to fruition or see results for a decade or more. So it's a continual work. We're going to continue to focus on attracting new business and that are providing good jobs for our students so that they have other opportunities to stay and work in this community and raise a family. Also, I just think that we're also going to work with our existing companies, and we're going to continue to monitor. We're going to continue to meet with them and find out what their pain points are and find ways to help them overcome that. A lot of times that is, you know, making sure that they have a good trained pipeline of talent, and that's where the high schools come in.
And Diana, when you're out doing those industry scans or business meetings, and I'm assuming also trying to attract businesses to be members, what does that look like in terms of the strategy for the organization?
I mean, it really comes down to relationships and trust. So I have to build a rapport with them, get them to entrust me with that information, what they need, and then follow through. Like, when I tell them that I'm going to help them do something, I do everything I can to actually do that.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Adams, we've talked the last couple of months about our enrollment trends. You talked about those Rugrat households maybe diminishing. What does that look like in terms of, like, update, I would say, and then how it relates to not just next year's solution that we'll need to find, but 2-3 years down the road as we plan for future enrollment and future budget outlooks?
Sure. Can we do a bird walk?
Yes, awesome. For sure.
All right. Bird walk authorized. Our number one export in Kansas is, anybody?
Our people.
Our human capital. Okay, I'm going to let that sink in for the listener for a second. You might think it's wheat. You might think it's oil if you're in Ellis County, right? It is our people. If we continue to export all of our human capital, this state and probably this county are going to be in a much worse position, flash forward 2 decades, than we are today. So how can we create a robust economy that not only keeps our people, but actually attracts more to it? If, quote unquote, if you're not growing, you're dying, right? We have got to create an economy that keeps people not only here, but actually attracts them as well. That has a direct implication on the school system. As more and more employers go out of business, or more and more families decide, hey, I'm going to leave and go across the line, whatever, our school system will feel that result in a very direct way. Does that make sense, Jake?
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, if you could create more business opportunities that create more employment and more people by default want to live and work here, our school system would theoretically see a blossom as. So it's a two-way street in that regard. Specifically for us, we are down 10% in 2 years. So 3,500 students just 2 years ago, we have lost 350 of those. It was not all due to people that were just simply upset. I recognize fully we've got some that left because they feel like services could be met elsewhere. But truly, this is somewhat tied to an economic development issue for us.
And Jeremy, as president of an organization that's looking at this more robustly, but countywide, what do you see in terms of opportunities, and maybe even talk through when you're dealing with those like RFP specifically, what are you looking for in terms of fit that makes sense to the growth that's going to benefit everybody?
Well, first of all, I will say Dr. Adams is exactly right. Growth solves a lot of problems. And whether that's growth in your student population, growth in employment opportunities, growth in housing, growth in taxable, sales tax collections, property tax collections, it just provides, I think, better services all around. So it's, pick your analogy. It's the three-legged stool is important. Rising tide, rising tides moves all boats. They're all true. Remind me of your question. I'm sorry.
Talking about like RFPs, like when we're trying to attract, new businesses or a specific project.
Yeah, I will tell you, it is, economic development and your question about the next 3 to 5 years is that's when we were talking, or when I heard that, I thought the same thing Lisa did, which is 3 to 5 years is really, it's economic development is a long-term game. I mean, putting a time frame on it would be a mistake. It's a process. It's not an event. And, we win a project. Well, nothing's changed. We just keep kind of chugging along. So I will say economic development, at least what we've seen, is very competitive, and in a lot of cases, it's very national. We've been on the short list for a number of projects that I think people would have thought were pretty great for our city or our county, and lost them to people, not someone down the road, but several states away, or people who came up with incentives that we just were not willing to match. And a lot of times that is money. Someone's writing a big check. So that is just tough to compete with. And, everyone has free land. Everyone has an industrial park. Everyone has something to offer. But a lot of times it's someone making the decision just based upon the finances. And, I think that is probably our biggest hurdle. But that's honestly everybody's biggest hurdle.
Lisa?
I was just going to say one other thing I see a lot is these companies really want to know where their talent coming from. They want to know that they've got skilled people. They want to know that they've got people that are going to work in their companies. So that's really important for us to understand what the skills are and how many are coming out and ready to work, that kind of thing. So that is really important. That's another connection to the schools that we want to make sure and maintain.
So last, Dr. Adams.
No, she hit it. Thank you for the segue.
Oh.
So he mentioned, hey, it might be a big money problem. Let's say that's not a part of it, and it's truly a competitive environment. What can sometimes get a project across the line or not is that labor basin. Mm-hmm. And so here is entity XYZ and industry XYZ, whatever it is, imagine what it is for a second, and it's Leavenworth on a short list of about two or three other cities our size. It may very well be our ability to show we've got the labor basin and we've got the talent for it. The talent pool is critical, right? Mm-hmm. We have skilled labor in this industry that can meet this. That's where we come in my opinion, as a part of this conversation. Were we doing our part at the front end of the transaction to prepare kids to be a part of that labor basin?
So I'm going to go from my right to left. Last question. What is, as we get ready to close out 2024 and look to 2025, what is one challenge or opportunity that comes top of mind professionally in your role?
I just want to make sure that we're ready for what I think is going to be a busy next year. With project-wise, we're probably going to see some interesting projects come about. So I just want to make sure that we're ready. We understand the information about the workforce so we can present that to potential clients. We want to understand anything that might affect their ability to come or their desire to come and come to this community. Also, I want to help grow the tax base. I want to relieve the burden from those homeowners. And that comes from these industrial primary industries who are paying quite a bit in tax, property taxes and that sort of thing to help increase the income for the county to pay for some of those things that we want.
Diana?
I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but that CTE symposium is both a challenge and an opportunity. I mean, it's a challenge because we have to keep the momentum going. We have to keep everybody collaborating and communicating. But, wow, what an opportunity. If we can pull it off, we will have such an amazing educational system that I think will draw more people to want to come here and educate their kids here.
And spoiler alert, that's the theme of next week's episode. So we're going to continue that conversation for sure. Jeremy, 2025.
So obviously to be true to what my last comment is, it's, you know, it's not a short-term thing. It's kind of it's a long-term, economic development is a long-term, adventure. The one thing Lisa said, I think is so true is growing the tax base and the value of that is, I just made myself some notes before I came here. For those people who are kind of unfamiliar with how tax works, commercial properties are taxed at about 2.2, almost 2.2 times the rate of residential units. So when we talk about the value of why we focus on primary industries and commercial businesses instead of housing or tourism, it's because the economic impact is just so much bigger. And let's say you had the opportunity between a new $1 million building in your town or $1 million worth of residential. You know, it's both the same dollar amount, but the impact to the city is, or to the school district, I'll use as an example, is completely different. Your mill levy, 56?
Correct.
56, yep. some odd mills. Doing the math on this real quick, $1 million worth of commercial, that gets you guys $6,400 for residential. You do that same $1 million at a commercial valuation, you're at $14,000. So that's what, you know, that's why we focus on what we focus on, because it's the impact to the local economy, buying down your taxes effectively. No one likes paying taxes. And this is a way that we can really, I think, make the county competitive and make it a great place for people to want to live, because it's the all-in cost that people also look at. It's not just how much does the house cost, it's how much does the house cost to live in, which is your mortgage plus your insurance plus your property taxes. And a lot of times that's... I think where we can have an advantage over some of the surrounding counties. So I don't know if I answered your question exactly.
That's great.
But it's one of the big things that we have to talk to people about is the importance of the commercial development and employment instead of just housing or any of the other things that could potentially fall under economic development.
Dr. Adams, I hear you talk enough about challenges, so you're limited to opportunities. What's the top opportunity for 2025?
Thank you. I'm going to go off the rails here because I'm all hopped up on Coke Zero. An opportunity specifically for the city of Leavenworth and this district is if we can unlock our current housing conundrum. And I mean, when I say it, it is an absolute conundrum. It is everything from we want teachers to live where they work, and I don't have affordable housing for our teachers. Two, I've got folks that have now retired, and they've exited all their children, and yet that is a 4 or 5 bedroom home that isn't regreening, right? It's the affordability of housing. It's the ability for homeowners to not feel like the crushing weight on their shoulders of the taxing mill rate because it is so heavily borne by single-family residents in this county, right? It is all multifaceted, but it is a huge opportunity that I think if collectively we can get enough leadership at the table and we can get some positive momentum, we can start that flywheel spinning, and you could really see positive momentum here in Leavenworth.
Awesome. Well, we still have 3 more weeks of this year, so we're going to finish those strong. And no snow days as of yet, so that's a bonus. But a couple more weeks, and then we'll be on break, and then we'll be coming back for 2025. So thank you to all of our guests, Lisa, Diana, Jeremy.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
Appreciate
for having
it.
Us.
And thank you all for listening to 453 Fireside. Yeah.